Welcome to Monday Scramble Podcast. Lisa Cornwell, Will Gray. How about Justin Rose? Quite a performance in Rio, earning the gold medal as a member of, or representing rather, Great Britain. He was so excited in the finish. So much drama, so much. You could see the passion. You could just see how much this meant to him. And I'll be honest, I didn't know what I was going to really think about this when it started. I mean, you know, you think that it'll be wonderful, but then you also think, well, this is just another event. It's not really a team event. It's an individual 72-hole stroke play competition. It blew me away, and I think that we saw by Justin Rose's reaction that he was blown away. The fans were blown away. Twitter was blown away. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought it.
Were you blown away?
Yeah, I thought it was a really good event. I think, first of all, props to Gil Hans. Nothing but great things about the golf course from the players. It seemed like, this day and age, it seems impossible to get, you know, positive feedback off a brand new course. But he managed to pull it off, and it looked great on television. I think that Justin Rose winning is a great outcome for the long-term future of golf in the Olympics. I think that it was really good to have a quote-unquote notable gold medal champion. He's a guy that embraced the Olympics from the very start. Him and his caddy, Fuchs, they were tweeting pictures throughout the entire process of going to Rio and landing in Rio, going to other events. So he's a guy that's going to be able to wear the gold medal with class and be a great representative of golf in the Olympics. And you know, what more can you ask for? You've got a duel between two major champions. Comes down to the final hole between Rose and Stenson. And Justin Rose hit the chip in tight and won himself some nice hardware.
Two passionate major champions, too. Yes. You can tell how much this meant to both players. Let's welcome in Randall Mell and get his thoughts. Randall, I know that you paid close attention to everything that was going on. First of all, thanks for taking time to join us. What were your thoughts watching Justin Rose do what he did, especially down the stretch on Sunday?
Yeah, I'm like the both of you. Huge curiosity going in. What was it actually going to be like on Sunday in the finish? Was it going to feel monumental? Was it going to feel like a major? Because we didn't know. And in the days leading in and the practice rounds, you know, there's not crowds out there. It didn't have this buzz like, you know, a major would leading in. But Sunday, wow, Sunday proved everything. It did feel big. It felt monumental. It felt like a major. And then to have Rose and Stenson duel, you know, two big names, it really added credence to the finish. And I also felt like during the week, we got to see what a big deal Olympic golf was through the eyes of Bubba and Ricky. Just their reaction, the way they embraced everything, their appearance at events, it just did make golf feel a part of the whole thing, and they drew us in that way. And I think the importance of all the other sports of, you know, track and field and swimming and the players embracing that, and it made them feel like this event was important, and we felt all of that through them.
Yeah, I think it was such a good day or a good week, really, just for the sport itself. I think a lot of people were introduced to golf because of what happened in Rio, and hopefully that will continue with the ladies taking over this week. But it was so cool to me to watch the fan reaction, because I felt like there were a lot of people who had maybe never watched golf before.
Well, yeah, you can tell because they kept taking pictures with their cell phone.
Well, yeah, and which is okay. I mean, come on, they're a spirited bunch. But you could just see some of the reactions, like watching Stenson or Rose or anybody just pound the golf ball, and it was like they had never seen. It was like a missile had taken off. Did you notice that?
Yeah,
it was the
sure.
crowd reaction, I thought, was just phenomenal.
I will say the one missing element for me, you can't script the entire thing, obviously, and you've got three great men on the podium there, but I would have loved to have seen someone from the back of the pack end up on the podium, whether it's Thomas Peters or Cavendish, Afa Barnrat, but just to see someone come from outside the main scope of golf and end up on the podium, I think would have been cool, but certainly...
Didn't Cooch do that? I mean,
well,
what was
Cooch,
he?
Yeah, he
came great on Sunday.
Yeah, but I think Cooch is pretty notable, and it should be. He gets extra points for winning a bronze medal 2 weeks after not knowing what the Olympic format was. That's a pretty quick turnaround. But a 64 on Sunday will do that. But I think, you know, Seamus Power from Ireland was up there. Marcus Fraser shot that opening 63. But just someone who I think that it would have been a crowning achievement to get onto that podium. I think right now, Justin Rose and Stenson, you're going to talk about these medals alongside their major championships. Kuchar has won the Players as well. It just, you know, it's a scenario that could have gone, you know, a different direction. But like I said, three very deserving players atop that podium.
Randall, what do you think about the overall impact of golf at the Olympics that it's going to have on the sport?
Yeah, I agree with Will there, and especially like looking forward to the women, I was thinking, what's the best outcome? Who's the best winner? On one hand, having Lydia Ko or an already established player like Aria Jutanagarn or Lexi Thompson, that's good for the sports. It like validates that, the event. But also, Will is right. If the real reason for the Olympics, golf in the Olympics, is to grow the game, and that is the real reason they wanted to get into it, there definitely is a business, a huge business deal to this. The best winner probably in the women's would be Shanshan Fang, because China is such a sleeping giant. And because, in talking to Shanshan at the Women's British Open, how, golf is still really not viewed as a big deal in China, but it's growing. And, she calls it a sleeping giant. But the Olympics, she said, when we watch Olympic athletes, a Chinese Olympic athlete on the medal stand, they are heroes. They are like celebrities. So for Shanshan to win, to Will's point there, that really resonates in a way that will grow the game in China, a sleeping giant, where, a couple of years ago, Shanshan told me that she thought that, that China has the capability of catching Korea. If golf can catch fire there, there's just a love of sport in China. If it gets popular, look out for the Chinese.
That's a big statement to get to where the Republic of Korea is. We definitely want to preview the women with you, Randall, but I want to kind of keep the focus right now on the men, and starting with Justin Rose, because you mentioned grow the game. Justin Rose has certainly done his part to grow the game worldwide. It's amazing when you look at some of his numbers. This is his 9th different country where he's had a win, 6th different continent. The only continent where he hasn't won, Antarctica.
Soon enough, they'll have a WGC in Antarctica by 2023.
Maybe you can make that happen.
Yeah, I'll write to Tim Finch. We'll make it happen.
Yeah, is Gil Hanse over there already?
Yeah.
Hey, look,
they're setting up shop.
Justin Rose would be fine for it. What a great champion, though. I mean, he just such a nice person, such a good person for the sport. It's so easy to cheer for him. As you look at these Olympic gold medal winners, how about this stat, that the last Olympic gold medal awarded in men's golf was 40,867 days prior yesterday. Who's counting? Right. I mean, I just simple math.
But yeah, I think that Justin Rose is a great example of the global game of golf. He's an Englishman, but he's born in South Africa, used to live right down the street from Henrik Stenson at Lake Nona in Orlando, now makes his home in the Bahamas, plays both tours, the PGA Tour and the European Tour, embraces that kind of dual citizenship in the world of golf, and now he's got an Olympic gold medal.
Man of the world, yeah. But, the way he won, to face off against Stenson, who really the hottest player on the planet, we just saw the way he dueled Phil Mickelson. Stenson, to beat Stenson, when Stenson's just full of confidence, and if you're a player, and you're going up against them, that's all in your head, So Justin really held it together in his swing. Brandel Chambly was talking on the air about how what he and Sean Foley have done together is one of the prettiest things to watch in golf. That's high compliment coming from Brandel. And his ball striking was just phenomenal, wasn't it, the whole weekend?
Yeah, for sure. I would agree, and there's a reason that those guys ended up kind of distancing themselves from the pack. My question to you, Randy, is what's our takeaway from the American men? Matt Kuchar gets the bronze medal, but it was such a slow start from the other three guys. Ricky Fowler kind of came on Saturday with that 64. But what's your takeaway from the four U.S. participants on the men's side from this week in Rio?
Yeah, Matt Kuchar salvaged something, didn't he? Because I think with the Americans having the largest delegation, I think the only country with four players, correct?
Correct.
It would have been, I think, a huge disappointment for them not to medal at all. So for Matt Kuchar just to win the bronze and become a part of the story, and then the way he reacted and the way he talked about it and just his feelings about it, the Americans are very much included. So he salvaged something, but yeah, overall, a disappointment. Ricky just kind of seems to be going in that same kind of a little bit of a struggle right now. Bubba made a move, he made it interesting, but he just couldn't sustain it. But I still think Bubba and Ricky are huge figures in it for golf because of the way that they drew all of us into the Olympics as a whole. The way, with all the talk coming into it of players not really being sure if, you know, golf should be in the Olympics, the way these guys embraced it was huge. And I really appreciated that, the way they communicated it, because we did feel it there, how they love these games and being at them. We felt it through them.
Randy, one more quick one before we shift to the women. We talked about how Jim Furyk's 58 at the Travelers Championship kind of put him on the Ryder Cup radar. Do you feel the same way about Matt Kuchar's bronze medal? Does that now make him kind of a lead figure in the mix of potential captain's picks for the Ryder Cup?
That's a good question.
It's and if you're Davis Love, you know, the more the merrier, right? The more to consider.
Well, not too
better.
Many more. He's only got four picks. He's got to make some choices here at some point.
Right. But, you know, it's good to see because, how often when it gets down to the crunch for the Ryder Cup, when, you know, you're looking at points, who's on the outside, who can make it, it always seems like guys choke. It's a lot of pressure, and it does. How many times do you remember somebody really rising to the occasion to say, hey, yes, I am a definitive captain's pick, or to make the team – to make a run those last few weeks, it doesn't happen very often, and it just shows you the amount of pressure and how badly guys want to make it and how hard it is to make it. So to see a guy step up like that, I think it is a good deal.
Well, look, and Matt Kuchar, he is kind of the model of consistency in the game of golf, which is so hard to achieve, and even this season. I mean, this was his seventh top 10 finish in his last 11 starts. He has 9 top 10 finishes on the PGA Tour this season. If you're Davis Love III, you have to look at him. I mean,
yeah,
the guy is.
But now it gets to the question of who do you bump out? Do you bump out Fowler? Do you bump out Bubba? Do you bump out Furyk? I mean, you have a lot of really marquee names on the wrong side of the Ryder Cup bubble right now. We got 2 more weeks to go.
Do you want Matt Kuchar or Ricky Fowler right now?
I take Ricky.
Really?
Yeah. I think Ricky is a huge asset for the team. I think he makes a big difference for a home Ryder Cup in terms of jazzing up the fans. I think that there's an intangible that he brings that Kuchar maybe doesn't bring. I think Ricky is streaky. He hasn't played well for much of the summer, but I would take my chances with Ricky.
Who would you take, Randall?
Right now I'd be leaning toward Matt just because Ricky's form, you know, Will's right on all those counts, but form, I don't know if you can just muster form when you need it, you know, if you haven't shown it coming into these things. So I don't know. Because of the consistency, I'd probably go lean with Matt.
I would too. I mean,
I'm not voted now.
It's all spirit and hype. That's great. This is about winning.
Yeah, it's not that far long ago that Ricky Fowler was really playing lights out early in the season.
No, no knock to him, but I mean, Kuchar's he's playing really well right now. You guys want to talk about the ladies? Because we have another exciting week now. I think everybody is even more pumped up for it now because we saw what the men did, and it's cool too because watching the men play on a golf course and then watching the women play the same thing. It's kind of like what we saw at Pinehurst a couple of years back, but only different. The women went first. So I think
the men went first then.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
It's all right. I'll keep up.
It's Monday. This is the Monday scramble, right? I need another cup of coffee. Yeah, they did.
It's a good setup.
So it was fun. It was fun to watch kind of the reaction there.
Yeah, for sure. I think that it's going to be very interesting. And Randy, you can add some insight here. But I'm very intrigued to see how some of these top women play, whether you're talking about Lydia Ko, Brooke Henderson, R.A. Tanigarn coming off, all three of them coming off major championship victories this year and what they can do to maybe validate their seasons and really put a stamp on the game. I think that there's a chance that the women's gold medal could be even more meaningful for the global game for the women than maybe necessarily the men was with Justin Rose. We'll see. Randy, your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree because the women, Mike Wan, the LPGA commissioner, he's talked about when he came in, one of the things he wanted to do was just get them on bigger stages, get them more exposure. And, you don't get any more exposure than you do at the Olympics. But I do think part of that depends on how it unfolds, what the storylines are, if you have something unusual. You know, who knows, maybe even a Solheim Cup-type controversy, something that draws a lot of attention to the women on this huge stage would be incredible for the women because, it's one of the reasons Mike Wan created a fifth major. It was just another way to get a big stage because the women don't have a FedEx Cup. They don't have World Golf Championships. So that was a huge factor in his wanting to create a fifth major. So, yeah, it's but like I said, I do think it depends on if something dramatic can unfold, if some riveting story unfolds. But at the same time, a name player that we are all familiar with in the golf niche, like Stacey Lewis, if she's in the hunt, her whole story of growing up with scoliosis, of having a metal rod and four screws inserted into her spine, you know, that story will be retold to, you know, millions of fans who don't know it already. So that's a way for the women to get their story out on a larger stage and maybe draw some people in to watch on a more regular basis.
Well, I think I look at two big things to watch for a lot of people who don't watch the ladies play all the time. Aria Jatanyagarn and Lexi Thompson. I think people are going to be so impressed with the power that these two ladies possess. It's absolutely incredible.
Aria Jatanyagarn just going to two-iron her
she's
way
just
to, gonna,
that,
to the podium.
That stinger two-iron that she hits, it's absolutely amazing. And to go out there, I think people expect that from the guys. But when you watch those two ladies play, it's so impressive. And then the other takeaway is Lydia Ko, her wedge play. I mean, it's just, if she's doing Lydia Ko things like she normally does, those to me are the two big storylines. So I'm really interested to watch Lydia and Aria and Lexi.
I would add to that Jarena Pillar.
Yeah.
Just barely snuck in as the third American representative. Hasn't won yet on the LPGA, but has had such a consistent season. You want to talk about parallels to Matt Kuchar. I feel like Jarena Pillar is that mirror on the women's game, where she hasn't won, but every week, T3, T6, T8, she's always in the mix. This is her chance now to maybe break through and really make a statement on the world stage.
There would be something poetic about Jarena Pillar winning a gold medal. It's her first big win, too, because she really is a throwback. Jarena did not start playing until she was 15 years old, and it's part of the reason she's in her early 30s now. She's a little bit, you know, behind, is that she started so late. But she's a throwback in the sense that that's the way it used to. And she played all the sports. She was an all-state volleyball player. She was a little league player who played against the boys. Track and field. She did everything. And that's why she's a throwback. She's more like the way Betsy King was. And Julie Inkster, I think it's a big reason why Jarena and Julie are so close. And, you know, Jarena spends a lot of time with Julie, and you know, Jarena isn't that far off from the age of Julie's children. So for Jarena to win a gold medal, I think there would be something fitting about that, and you know, that the all sports stage for her to take a medal, because she's someone who's gonna, you know, really be into the volleyball and all these different things. She'd be a great winner.
What about the Republic of Korea? Is this the hardest Olympic? I keep calling it a team, but you know what I mean, to qualify for.
Yes,
I mean, when you look at the talent, I think
that
we have a graphic that shows all of these ladies, but we haven't even mentioned, I mean, Embi Park, she's trying to overcome that thumb injury, so we'll see how she's doing. Another great athlete. Se-young Kim may be the best female athlete in golf.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, just an incredible athlete. You walk into a gym and she's doing push-ups and pull-ups, and she absolutely knocks the
tar.
Yes, out of the golf ball. Yep. Amy Yang, I love watching her play, just a model of consistency, and of course, major champion and Ingi Chun.
Yep.
The Republic of Korea, watch out, as usual.
Yeah, Randy, what's the health situation? We got to start with Embi Park and then kind of add your thoughts as you will on the Korean team.
Yeah, Embi took 2 months off. After she qualified for the LPGA Hall of Fame, made it in at the MG Women's PGA in early June. You know, she took 2 months off until playing last week a Korean LPGA event. She hadn't played in 2 months. While she was there, she told the Korean media that, you know, she still had a little pain in her thumb, but she was ready and she was going to play through it. She missed the cut in a KLPGA event, which wasn't a good thing, but a little rusty. But she said she was rusty with her iron play and her putting a little bit, but she was happy with it. She drove it. She said actually her thumb felt better than she thought. So, and she said she didn't have much pain in it. But now that she's playing more, we'll see how it goes. But yeah, the Koreans, the pressure on them to win a gold medal is probably more intense than on any country, because they are the force in women's golf, and there's so much pride in Korea over women's golf. The TV ratings for the International Crown 2 years ago were twice what the TV ratings were for the Masters in Korea. You know, it's just hard
That's
to
incredible.
Fathom, but it shows you how much they love women's golf over there. But, you know, Na-Yeon Choi was telling me, and So-Yeon Yoo, about just the pressure to make the team. They were having weekly standings in newspapers and online as to what the – you know, who the top four were and who was in the on the bubble to make the team. Just intense pressure. So for them, you know, that nation wants to prove that they are the top golfing nation. And an Olympic medal would certainly do that. So, yeah, a good team they got, though. They'll be tough.
I'm glad MB was able to make it, although her caddy did tell me at the KPMG that her doctors basically said that she's going to need 6 months away from golf to fully heal. So... this may be something that she's dealing with until she takes that time that she needs. But obviously with the Olympics, she wanted to do her best to try to get ready. Randall, before we let you go, there has been a big announcement in West Palm Beach where you have been. Tell us what's going on.
Oh, yeah, I was down here, Lisa, you know, with this PGA Tour LPGA Alliance that was announced, sort of a formal cooperative effort. We saw just one of the first deals with that, and that the Jessica Korda and Justin Thomas, who both won in Malaysia last year, they were down here for a media day in West Palm, where they were, you know, they were filmed on camera or interviewed on camera. It was projected back to Malaysia media, and just an example of what the LPGA and PGA Tour are trying to do together. The LPGA and PGA Tour events will be played back to back in Malaysia this year, back to back weeks on the same venue. It was Kuala Lumpur Golf and Country Club, and it's becoming a TPC venue. And like I said, they'll be back-to-back, so over there they'll get to experience the LPGA and the PGA Tour in back-to-back weeks, as we got to experience it at Pinehurst and the U.S. Open. But just another example of the LPGA and PGA Tour trying to do things together. And I think the big thing we're all waiting for there is to see what joint events they're still in the works, trying to plan a joint event with the PGA Tour and LPGA playing together. Nobody knows quite yet what they're going to do, but that'll be a big deal when they finally come up with a plan and announce it.
All right, Randall Mell, thank you so much for joining us. Safe travels.
Right. Great being on. Thanks, Lisa.
Thank you.
See you.
I think, like we talked before this whole thing started, the PGA Tour and Commissioner Fincham, I think, is being really smart about this, and Randall mentioned it. It is so big. Women's golf is so big in Asia, especially in that part of the world. And they're testing the waters, so to speak, where it can potentially have a huge financial impact.
Yeah, for sure. And like we said, you know, it's going to be great to see the women play the same course this week in Rio as the men did last week. And we saw it at Pinehurst a couple years ago. Now we'll see it again in Malaysia. But just we're inching closer to that potential mixed event or co-sanctioned event or what have you. We'll have to see how the details come together. But it's an exciting time. The closer those two organizations work together, I think the better it is for the game of golf as a whole.
Yeah, and it's definitely good. I mean, especially, I think, for the women's game. I think that it's going to help grow the LPGA Tour. Let's get some thoughts on John Deere. Everybody's paying attention to what was happening.
Yeah, while you were sleeping, Ryan Moore wins the John Deere. First off, kudos to Ryan Moore, fifth career PGA Tour victory, first in a couple years. But secondly, I think it's an absolute travesty that they're playing this event opposite the Olympics.
Yeah.
And I think that in 2020, there's a whole lot of stuff they need to work out about the schedule. But one of the things needs to be the Olympics deserves its own stage. That it detracted from the event at least a little bit to have this going opposite. I think it made the PGA Tour's commitment to the Olympics seem a little disingenuous. I know that you have to have these events. You've got the mid-tier guys fighting for their spots in the FedEx Cup. But when you're working the schedule, there's got to be a way to clear this week and just give it to the Olympics, because no one paid attention to the deer, and that's a great event run by great people up in Silvis, Illinois, and it's unfortunate that they really got cast in the shadow.
Yeah, I could say something and add to it, but I think you said it very well. I agree 100%. A lot to look forward to this week
in
golf.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, as we said, the FedEx Cup's winding down, so I'll be in Greensboro on Wednesday for the Wyndham Championship. It's the last event of the FedEx Cup season. We've got the women's playing the Olympics, certainly in Rio. There's The European Tour is in the Czech Republic, and the USAM, Ryan Lavner, for all the college and amateur fans of golf, he's going to be up in Detroit, Michigan at Oakland Hills for the USAM. But I'm going to be at the Wyndham. Always interesting to see how the bubble plays out for the top 125 trying to get in to the FedEx Cup playoffs and get their card for next season. But then we also have the secondary bubble now of the Ryder Cup, because usually when you get to the Wyndham, that the team, the automatic qualifiers for the U.S. have already been decided. And now, with things getting pushed back, you see Ricky Fowler added the Wyndham late. Patrick Reed, who won this event in 2013, is going to play. Jim Furyk is in the field. You've got guys jostling for some of those last couple of automatic spots before the cutoff, which will be next week after the Barclays.
Hard to believe it was last year when we saw Tiger Woods.
We've made it a full year without Tiger Woods. I did not think that was how it was going to be. But, yeah, tied for 10th a year ago, set the greater Greensboro area on fire, chipping in on that first hole, and it seems like it was 10 years ago, let alone 1 year.
And right hard now. To believe, it's also when Davis Love III.
Yeah, he won it at 51. Injured, won't be able to defend his title this year, which is unfortunate, but he will be there looking at the Ryder Cup, and he'll have a press conference on Thursday. But, it was a quite interesting tournament last year. Every time we get to this part of the year, it's there's a lot of compelling storylines, who's in, who's out for the various bubbles, and it'll be a good week at Sedgefield. An old-school Donald Ross course, so it's always high on my list. Anytime the PGA Tour goes to a Donald Ross layout,
I agree 100%. I was there last year for the first time and got to witness it and walk around. And, any old Donald Ross course is great.
It's so good.
It's smaller, it's shorter, but it's certainly, it rewards whoever's attacking it that week.
Davis
Love III was attacking it last year, made a ton of putts. So for Will and Randall, I'm Lisa. Thanks a lot for watching. This has been Monday Scramble. A lot to look forward to this week on Golf Channel, highlighted by the women in Rio.